Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson. A sports news update for Club Tokemwal, Australia's premier Murray River golfing destination with two top 40 golf courses. Talk to the Golf Package team today.
Oh, gee, we got onto a topic here that's got rather large on us, Sammy Edmund, the field marshal for Club Tokemwal on the Murray. Welcome to you.
I do tire of it, though, because it's the one thing they've got.
Well, you're much more involved in it than we are. We're just dipping our toe in it.
And some would say it is a big thing, but they don't have father sons. They've got more travel. There's equity concerns everywhere. They've got less members, less attendance, less corporate dollar. So the one thing they have is having access to kids who might be going off. Jed Walter might have played rugby league. He might be a surfer. Who knows what he could have been, if not for the avenue and the money spent and the time committed by the Gold Coast Suns. But we always want... There's no interest like self-interest, Gary.
Well, John from Brisbane sent me a text. I can't understand it, John. I have to... In an ad break, I'll read your long text. What do you got for us?
Look, so you don't sympathise with the Melbourne-based recruiters at all?
No. No. Why would we sympathise with them?
Okay. I'm just asking
the
question.
You present the counter-argument then, if you'll... Why...
Well, they're just saying that it's harder and harder to get access to talent. That's what they're saying.
So all the father sons.
Well, they don't have the advantage. You say all the father sons, but not every club ends up with a father son every year.
How many father sons have the Gold Coast Suns had?
Well, they may not have had any.
They probably haven't.
They haven't been around long enough.
They haven't.
But they'll get them one day.
Right.
I'm reading John.
You don't think they'll ever get a father son?
Yeah, they will. Of course they will.
That eventually. Make much sense.
Well, exactly.
In a generation's time, perhaps.
John thinks what I've failed to realise is that every player gets taken by the Northern teams from the academy is one less talented Victorian that they take out of the pool, which means that is one more high-end talent available for Victorian teams to pick up. So it's not a disadvantage. Well, I think that's the point, is the talent pool's getting skinnier.
Yeah. I don't think anything's skinnier.
That's right. And the other part...
So pick 20 is not what pick 20 once was.
The other part to all this is that you can develop the talent, but at some point in time, you're going to have to pay to keep the talent as well. And it will be difficult. If they've got so many talented players, then people are just going to start.
Well, that's fine. That's the AFL system. And there's a salary cap.
That's my point. That is the system.
So, that's up. I'm glad we brought it up this morning. But
anyway,
the next gen academy is something I think that does seriously need to be addressed, and I think will be addressed in terms of the top 40 picks.
Can you give us a week before we get our head around?
Fair enough. Baby steps. Hey, Nathan Murphy spoke recently in the need to change his technique, go about his return in a way that would see him minimise as many risks as possible. We did speak in these tones yesterday afternoon with Dwayne Russell. The best way to put it is, of late in particular, not all the advice he has got has been positive. The recent advice, the expert advice, has been significant. Certainly no one would be surprised, as disappointing as it would be, if Nathan Murphy decided to prioritise the rest of his life. So it's probably best that we start and end there. Mm. Certainly in terms of some of his teammates over the past month or so, it's been definitely hope more than confidence that Nathan would be able to get back out there again. Some have always believed he would struggle to make it out there again. This is the final year of his contract, of course, but all that stuff, like Angus Brayshaw, would get worked out privately in the background should it get to that. So regardless of what decision he makes, and it will come in the short term, I think, hopefully he's got good peace of mind in terms of the decision that he does make.
Well, I think there is an expectation that he's going to retire, whether it's today or tomorrow or whenever it might be. And there's also the same expectation, it will be like Angus Brayshaw, and that is that we won't hear from him because of the delicate nature of a payout at some point.
Sure. But what we also know is he'll get unbelievable support if that is the decision that he makes, because we're much more conditioned to the fact that it is just a game of footy and not your life.
And I think he's as, like Angus probably, as across that as any modern day player can be. He's a pretty smart man, Nathan Murphy. And there's some complexities that need to be worked out behind the scenes with him, albeit his contract is not as long and as lucrative of Angus's. But we'll let that play out when he feels the time is right. Luke Beveridge speaking of timing at the Witten Oval today. So this is 8:30, and not for the first time. There's a lot of interest in what the coach of the Western Bulldogs has to say. There's two factors here for mine. Mm-hmm. The messaging that Beveridge has provided in the media about where the Dogs are at and where they're headed, and also what we're seeing out on the field in terms of performance and the curious team selection. So I spoke to a couple of Bulldogs insiders last night, so I'll try to set you up as best I can here quickly with the thinking in there at the moment. So football-wise, it's round six. The Dogs are 2-3, so there's a stack to play out here in terms of where they sit.
And last week they lost by 4 points to Geelong, and we weren't having those discussions there. We're very week to week.
Okay, so this is not your view. This is the Bulldogs' internal view.
Yeah. camp. Spoke to a couple of people in there. So Beveridge's comments, though, have been confusing and contradictory in recent times, and that is something that's been discussed internally as well. So look for Bevo to speak, hopefully, more specifically today, and to provide the Bulldogs fan base with as clear a picture as he can of the now and also the future. Because coaching-wise, people in there are as satisfied with Bevo's coaching as they've been for some time. At the back of the review and the football department changes that have been made, they say he's been freed up from worrying about and getting bogged down in the peripheral stuff, which he was increasingly doing. He's been told to trust the people around him, that they want him as the senior coach, and to just focus on that. So he is, and they're all really bullish on how he's coaching this season, which might surprise some people, but they say he's back to what he was, philosophical, positive, free of mind. Now, the performance isn't coming on the field, Gary, at this stage, and they need to get some players in form. And it's the players and the selection, the profile of the team, that's been a discussion point down there. They say unitedly for the last 6 to 12 months, they want to change it, and they want to change the profile of a few positions to close the gap on the best teams they say they weren't able to do. So, over summer, Harvey Gallagher, Lachie Bramble, Latham Vandermeer, Riley West and others have had excellent pre-seasons. And they say they've really banged the door down and they've put significant pressure on Daniel, McRae and Dale and others. They say the players, the papers of these senior men haven't been stamped. It's certainly not let's play the kids for kids' sake. They say they've earned the spot genuinely.
Okay, so that's some of the analysis and the narrative on the back of one weekend of footy is that they've given up, that they're no good, that we think we're no good, the coach knows we're no good, therefore we're going to play these kids. They say no, no, no.
Yeah, and look, albeit some of them were poor. Some of the kids were poor on Friday night, and you've got to perform. So that's not to say they're in the team forever.
Lost by 4 points against Geelong 7 days ago.
They've all got to play better, and that is on the coach too, and he needs a win. They need to win this Thursday against St Kilda, but there'll be some changes at the selection table, some changes in messaging, and hopefully by close of business today, maybe a bit more clarity around the
and
messaging.
If they come out and play and beat St Kilda by 5 goals, well, it would change again, will it?
Well, I think it will. And I think if they'd beaten Essendon by a point, we wouldn't even be having these conversations. But they didn't. And Gary, Tim, you know the landscape as
week
well. Winning solves everything.
Do you think he deliberately said what he did at the weekend in terms of trying to muddle the message because he was trying to conceal? I think he was trying to conceal parts of it. He can't be brutally honest about saying, OK, we actually think that McRae's too slow. We can't play him in the same team as we can Daniels. He's slow too. Mm. He's a very good ball controller, but he still moves really slowly. Dale at the moment is kicking the ball horrendously. We need more speed on the outside. We need more spread. Rather than say that, he sort of confused everybody by what he was trying to conceal.
Possibly.
I went back and listened to it and I thought, okay, well, I can understand why he said that and he can't be as open and honest as frank as what he might be behind closed doors.
And I guess as he'll discuss this today, the art of coaching is to extract the maximum from the talent at your disposal. So he continues to coach whatever, but his coaching group, of which he heads up, it's incumbent upon them to get Caleb Daniel back into Nick, to get Bailey Dale back into Nick, to get Jack. And then at the end of the day, they go, no, I can't. Well, then they can't. But I think that's what's in front of him. After 5 games of footy, the premiership coach and his coaching team have got that challenge in front of him.
Agree.
Couple other quick ones. The AFL will soon announce its new AFLW boss. I think this week it'll be another female administrator, but certainly not a football person per se. So not someone from a football background either, I'm told. The AFL have settled on almost a change of role here that will be based around marketing and spruiking. This is the Minister for Hype sort of portfolio, Gary. Just get the bums on the
seat. This is Nicole Livingston's replacement.
Well, yes. And look, probably fair to say, not too dissimilar to Nicole, given her background was not in football. But this person, the football department of the AFL, will take charge of the nuts and bolts, the AFLW competition. That's Laura Kane's department. This person who's coming in from the outside, very much of a...
So was Nicole the CEO of AFLW?
Yes, football boss. Yeah, she was.
So we're not going to have a CEO of AFLW.
Well, I'm not sure what their role will be detailed specifically in terms of how they describe this person.
But does it come under Laura Kane's remit now?
Yes, yes. So the nuts and bolts will be. This person will be more around driving the hype and excitement.
Do you know who it is?
I've got a fair idea, but the AFL will confirm it, I think, before the start of round six.
Non-football.
Non-football background, yeah.
Other sporting background?
I don't believe so, no. I think maybe, and I don't want to...
Entertainment?
I think from the National Australia Bank.
Finance?
Well, I'm not saying from a financial background.
A former teller.
Checks never bounced.
Well, because there's no more tellers now. But they're looking for a job with.
Of course. Charlie Cameron, what can you tell us about him? And they're headed to the tribunal or not?
They are. Yep, today. It was always looking this way. The Brisbane Lions confirmed yesterday morning they would take Charlie Cameron's case to the tribunal. This was the one-match suspension for a dangerous tackle on Jake Lever. A week, of course, after Toby Green was let off for a very similar tackle on Mac Andrew in Canberra. Michael Christian spoke with Jared Huntley yesterday around the differences.
How did he split the difference between those two?
Well, he'd said that Mac Andrew had his arm released by Toby Green in the tackle, and Toby showed a duty of care. But if you watch the Jake
Mac
Lever...
Mac didn't think that at the time.
No, he was unhappy, Mac. And Jake Lever has an arm free the whole time in the tackle from Charlie Cameron. So I'm as confused as anyone. Brisbane clearly think they've got an avenue to argue it. So they'll try and get off it tonight.
Righto. And what about... you got a little player on a watch?
Just a watch on Jack Lekosius, just quickly. A long way between now and the trade window. But his contract till the end of 2026. A four-year commitment he signed in the middle of 2022. Since then, moved from defence to the forward line, stints on a wing, and earlier this season a return to the back line under a new coach with a new philosophy. So a handful of clubs I spoke to over the last few days, Gary, didn't hesitate in saying he was gettable and that there might be an opportunity if the planets align. But look, a long way to go. What you know is Damien Hardwick's not going to die wondering.
Well, we read the writing. I don't know if it's the way we read it anyway, was that he was a forward that kicked 30, 40 goals last year. So Damien Hardwick said, all right, I'll give you a look at it. Yeah. Had a look at it and said, you're not a forward in my group, so you can go back. And if you can't make a fist of going back, I think you'll go out.
I'm not sure Jack's happy about returning to the back line either, because he saw himself as a forward alongside Ben King and alongside Jed Walter. But Ethan Reid's come in as well, and Damien Hardwick sees him as a defender.
He needs to begin a breeding program too, Jack. When I sat and spoke to him, do you know there was only one Lekosius member of a family that came out to Australia?
Right.
And if he doesn't have a son...
That's it. End of the line.
That's the end of the line. So he's very much under the
father. There's your father's son.
He needs to produce, Jack.
We've run out of time, but is there any difference in your eyes between Crouch and Butters?
No, I cannot see it. I must have missed you yesterday
because a lot of people saying that you were on the Butters... You were banging the Butters drum.
I'm not saying both should be suspended or both should be let off, but it can't be one and the other. It can't be one
gets
a week.
You're not saying both should be suspended.
I'm just saying there needs to be consistency. There is no way they're that different that one should do a week and one shouldn't. So make up your mind. Butters doesn't actually touch the football.
I agree with you, Gary. I agree with you on that. You showed it last night, and you made the same
point. I'm not disagreeing at all, but you can't be suggesting that they shouldn't be suspended.
No, just saying be consistent with whatever
But
they both should be suspended.
Butters flushed Banfield in the draw.
Right, now that's all I'm establishing. Yeah. You're not in any doubt that Crouch shouldn't.
I think Zach Butters is incredibly fortunate.
We got there in the end. Thanks.